Now then, this evening, John's Gospel, and we're at the 10th chapter. If you're finding the place, I hope you like my new suit. Well, a fella in the meeting bought me this suit. I've got to wear whatever color they buy. And another man in the meeting bought me this shirt. And a lady in the meeting bought me these socks. My hair is my own. It's not a topper, it's my own. You know, when I was throwing these on the table the other night and saying, look at the suit, I was telling my big son, see the suit a man bought me. See the shirt, look at the socks. I heard the waif in the back scullery saying, didn't he do well? You know, I was speaking to her the other day. She was asking me for money. You know the way the woman asks you for money. And I was trying to kid her as I gave her the money. I said, there you are. You know, you're a real fly sort of a character. I was only having fun. I said, you know a thing or two. Said, one of these days you're going to wake up that I know more than both of us put together. I work that one out. And when you work that out by algebra, you're a very good one. She says, I know more than both of us put together. I don't know how you work it out. Now we're at John 10 this evening. John's Gospel, chapter 10. You remember that last Tuesday we went with Jesus from Galilee up to Jerusalem to the Feast of Tabernacles. And we looked at some of the things that happened before the feast began. And then we looked at some of the things that were happening in the midst of the feast. And then we looked at that last great day of the feast. And then we looked at some of the things that happened after the feast. How he came into the temple early in the morning and taught the people. Now, we're missing out John 9 because it's the story of the blind man miraculously getting sight as he went to wash at the pool of Siloam. And I don't want to take the time to touch on all the miracles as we follow the footsteps of Christ, because maybe one day, if the Lord spares us, we'll have a look at the miracles one by one. And of course I'm hurrying on because I feel that when I get to the end of following the footsteps of Christ, we're going to take up demonology. And I think that this is something that needs to be properly and very carefully and exhaustively done in these days in which we're living. So we're passing by John 9. We're at John 10. You know, as he came to the end of John 9, it says in verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now let's get to you. Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees. That's why I started a couple of verses back in chapter 9. And he's telling these Pharisees the tremendous story that we call the story of the Good Shepherd. And you must remember who he's talking to before we get into the exposition at all. He's talking to the Pharisees. And I want you to get this. We're going to have a look at the sheepfold this evening, because there's quite a lot of details about the sheepfold. And then we're going to look at the shepherd, because there's a great picture here of our wonderful shepherd. And then we're going to have a look at the sheep. And I've called the headings this evening Facts About the Sheepfold. And Facts About the Shepherd. Facts About the Sheep. Now, let's try to get the sheepfold into vision before we do anything else this evening. You see, when I was away down in the wilderness of Judea once upon a time, the late Dr. Crawford and I, and the late Mr. David Patterson, the three of us went away one morning with an old Arab guiding us, just to see one of these sheepfolds that I wanted to see in the wilderness. Now, if you could imagine a great expanse of land, it's all hills and valleys and burning sand and very little vegetation for sheep of any kind. If you could imagine it going for miles and miles and miles on either side. If you've ever been away through the heart of the Sperrin Mountains, it's land like that without the vegetation that the Sperrins have. Now remember that on these hills and in these valleys all around for miles, there are different flocks of sheep, and they're owned by different shepherds. But there is a big place, it's as big as a football pitch and about the same shape. It's got a dry wall made with stones, just stones built, and the wall's about 10 or 12 feet high. And this whole football pitch is built in. And there is just one little door into the sheepfold. Now, the different shepherds that own the sheep in these hills, they bring their flocks each evening and put them in the sheepfold. Then they go home to rest themselves. But there's a man who keeps the door. He's called the porter. He stays there all night. Actually, they tell me that he just sits down in the door, puts his feet against the other wall, folds his arms, and dozes there all night. Of course, there used to be lions, and there used to be bears in the wilderness of Judea. You remember that David killed the lion, killed the bear. And the custom is that the porter, he just guards the door. Now, he knows every shepherd by name and by sight. And he'll only let the shepherd in for his own flock. And every shepherd knows his own flock. And when he comes in the morning in through the gate, he just calls his own sheep by name and leads them out for another day's grazing. So you've got the sort of sheepfold into your mind. Now, there are some of the commentators and unfortunately some of the preachers who talk the greatest lot of nonsense about this chapter. You see, one old fellow said to me once, "You know, the sheepfold's heaven." Well, if you never went to school at all, you would know that the sheepfold's not heaven. Let's read a verse or two the Lord Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, remember, and this is what he said. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way. Just underline the word some other way. There's another way into the sheepfold, you know. You can climb over the wall. Ah, well, that would tell any old preacher that had any savvy at all that this certainly is not heaven. There's no other way into heaven, you know. In case you're confused in any shape or form, let me say to you that the Lord Jesus said, I am the way. And let's get it quite clear this evening. There is no other way back to God. Only Christ. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're going to learn today, this evening, we're going to learn that there's just one door into salvation. And Jesus said, I am the door. And let me say to you, you might have little ideas in the back of your mind that maybe you'll creep in some other way. Dear friend, this evening, unless you personally and experientially make Christ by faith your own and personal Savior, you'll never get inside the pearl-hung gates of heaven. You got that? You would know that when these can climb up some other way, that thieves and robbers can climb up some other way, well, the sheepfold certainly is not heaven. I'm sure that's quite elementary, but it needs to be said. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. You see, sometimes at night in these sheepfolds, there were men who climbed over the wall to steal lambs and sheep. So you can see it's not heaven. Now, he said this, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, the porter that was left to guard the door, he would not let anyone in who was not the shepherd of the sheep. He was quite sure about who the different flocks belonged to. And of course, there was a special flock that the Lord Jesus wanted to talk about. We'll come back to this in a moment. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, you know, some people change the argument. They say, oh, this is not heaven because you can climb up some other way. Then they try to argue that this sheepfold here is the church. Friend, Jesus Christ never leads out of the church. He's leading them out of the sheepfold. I don't think that some folks know exactly what we mean when we talk about the church. We're not talking about these walls and this roof, this building. This is not the church. In fact, to be proper, it shouldn't be called the Baptist Church. Up in the country, in the heart of the country, there's an old place that's called the Baptist Meeting House. And I would think that that's more proper. This is just a meeting house. That's all that is.
You know, the Church of Jesus Christ, it's got living members. And the moment that you personally and experientially trust Christ as your own and personal Savior, by the work of the Spirit of God, you're placed in the body of Christ, which is the Church. And you can't take members out of the body again, you know, without mutilating it. So the sheepfold is not heaven, because there's folks can get in some other way. And certainly the sheepfold is not the Church, because the shepherd's coming in to lead the sheep out. Yes, I want you to get the hold of this. You know, before we go any further, we'll just have to ask the question bluntly, what is the sheepfold? And the sheepfold here was Judaism. You see, he's talking to the Pharisees. And you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and different other sects that were among the Jews, you know, they were trying to take the whole nation over as if they were the shepherds sent by God and this was their flock. And you know, right throughout the Old Testament, they were called false shepherds and false teachers. But you know, it was perfectly true that there was one who was to come, who was to be the shepherd of Israel. Sometimes we sing an old hymn, I was looking for it, it's not in our book this evening, O Shepherd of Israel and mine. And all down through the old economy, they were looking for this great shepherd to come and gather the sheep and make this one flock that would be to the glory of God. Well, the Lord Jesus was the shepherd of the sheep, all right. We're going to discover that, and he was the one that was foretold about. And this sheepfold that he's talking about now to these Pharisees, he's letting them see it's the old sheepfold of Judaism. And all in the sheepfold don't belong to him. He's coming in and he's going to take his own out. And he's going to make one flock and one shepherd that they never even dreamed about. You know, it's very interesting to notice in this chapter the word door. It's a great many times. It would confuse you if you don't watch. Let me do them for you. Verse 1 it says, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Now, that's the door into the sheepfold. And then it says in the second verse, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, you don't only have the door of this sheepfold, which is Judaism, but you have the door of the shepherd. It was made for him. And then down in verse 7 it says this, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Oh, that's different again. Because you've got the door of the sheepfold now. You've got the door of the shepherd. You've got the door of the sheep. They're all meaning something. And then in verse 9, he comes out into the open and he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, that's a different door. That's Christ being the door now, isn't it? You see, if you can go back and see these Pharisees standing around them, and remember, they were false teachers. They wanted to be the shepherds of the flock, all right. And you know the Lord Jesus is talking to them about the sheepfold. And he's talking about the door of the sheepfold. And he says the door of the sheepfold is the door of the shepherd. This is the door the shepherd's coming to. You know, he's coming to this door and he's coming in through it, and the porter is going to announce him, and the porter is going to let him in. I remember preaching somewhere when somebody stood up and said, "Tell us who the porter is." "John the Baptist," I said, in case he didn't know. You see, when the Lord Jesus was born, and when he went away to Nazareth and put in those days, the moment that he stepped out into full-time service, you remember, don't you, how many things John the Baptist said about him. He pointed, he said, "Behold the Lamb. Behold the Son of God. Behold the King of Israel." He identified the shepherd. He was opening the door. This was the porter that was there then. And he knew that the shepherd had come to this sheepfold of Judaism, and he knew that he had come to call out sheep for himself. So that you can see this. Watch the doors again. There's the door of the sheepfold, just to make it plain in the first verse. And the door of the sheepfold, verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd." John the Baptist announced him. He knew that he was the shepherd of the sheep. Now, when you come down to verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them," and don't forget he's talking to the Pharisees, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." You see, here's this sheepfold, it's Judaism, here's the door, here's the porter, here's the true shepherd coming, and the porter opens, and he goes in, he's bringing out the sheep, he's the door of the sheep now, bringing them out of Judaism. Oh, my dear friends, there was a lot of old dead Pharisees who never came out. There's like a lot of old dead church folk who never see Jesus. They just stay in. And then when all this was explained and expounded, and they knew what he was talking about, stood out in the open and said, "I am the door." Can't get it plainer than that, can you? And let me tell you, that's the only door into salvation tonight. And let me say this to you. It's open wide just now. It has been swung open on three hinges. You see, there was the hinge of his incarnation. Then there was the hinge of his crucifixion. Then there was the hinge of his resurrection, and incarnation, and crucifixion, and resurrection has swung it open, and it's open, and you can go through tonight. You can be saved, you know. Don't you come around arguing with me that you can't be saved. If you were big enough or wee enough to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd be in through the door. And the Lord made it plain, "I am the door, by me," listen to it, "you Calvinists, by me, if any man," and don't dare to limit it. It's open for you, sir. It's open for you, madam. Open for you, sir, old hypocrite that you are. It's open for you. If any man. Just like that. Oh, the Lord was a great preacher. I think you can see this, can't you? These are just facts about the sheepfold. thieves and robbers can enter into it. This cannot be heaven. Sheep are led out of it. This cannot be the church. This is Judaism. And you can see the door into Judaism for the shepherd. And you can see the door out of Judaism for the sheep. And you can see the door into salvation for any man. There isn't any problems, is there? It's quite simple. I don't know what they all write about. Some of the commentaries that I left, you would think that it was some daft loony out of some lunatic asylum that had written it. They can't even read. It's a great pity. I'm so glad I never went to school. It's a great thing. Oh, yes, we get them all right. Now let's get down to some facts about the shepherds, and I want to tell you this. I hope these lights stay on, but whether they stay on or not, we're going on with the meeting. Friend, I think you'll get the greatest picture you've ever seen of Jesus Christ here as the shepherd of the sheep. We'll do it quickly. See verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Put verse 11 with that, and you'll get the whole picture. I am the good shepherd. So you have the identity, haven't you? You wouldn't have any troubles now. The Lord Jesus is identified here as the shepherd of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I think if you have a look at verse 9 just for a moment, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the fellow that climbs over the wall. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, he's coming to lift them out of Judaism. He's coming to liberate them from Sadduceeism. He's coming not only to lift and liberate, he's coming to give them life, and life more abundant. Can't you see the sufficiency? The Lord Jesus is sufficient to take you out of the most horrible pit you were ever in and set you free in whom the Lord sets free, and not only to lift you and liberate you, but to give you life, life more abundant. So that you can see the identity of the shepherd, and you can see the sufficiency of the shepherd. See verse 11? Let's go to the other bit of the verse. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You can see his sincerity. You know, that's what he really came for. He really stepped out of the glories of heaven. He was born of the Virgin. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And the whole thought in his heart all the time was to give his life for you. Oh, that we could get it. What a shepherd. You can see the sincerity of the shepherd. Are you following this? I'm just sketching the picture for you. You've got the identity, and I think you can see the sufficiency, and I think you can see the ability. See verse 3 again. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. You know, he's not only able to lead them out, but bless God, he's able to lead them on. He goes before them. I like the little hymn that the children sing, or the chorus. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Can't you see his ability? He not only brings you out, he leads you on. Oh, friends, I'm tempted at times to go back to the day I was saved, standing with my toes through the shoes, standing with a coat pinned over with a safety pin, an old torn shirt underneath, a down and out, and the Lord led me out of the most horrible flock you've ever seen in your life. He not only brings you out, he leads you on. Oh, friends, I'm tempted at times to go back to the day I was saved, standing with my toes through the shoes, standing with a coat pinned over with a safety pin, an old torn shirt underneath, a down and out, and the Lord led me out of the most horrible flock you've ever seen in your life. But then I'll tell you this, I could take the whole night up tonight to show you how he led me on. He didn't only lead me out, you know. He has led me to this moment. And he led me to the end. And when the river rolls its waters at my feet, you know, he is still the leading. He'll lead me over. And then I'll follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes for all eternity. Say hallelujah now. Say hallelujah. It. That's right now. That's the time. Bless the Lord for that. Oh yes, are you getting this? Because this is a very wonderful picture. You can see the identity of the shepherd and the sufficiency of the shepherd. And you can see the sincerity of the shepherd and the ability of the shepherd. Let's go way down to verse 18. He said this, no man taketh it from me. He's talking about his life. He said in verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Verse 18, he said, no man taketh it from me. Let's get that quite clear now. Don't you think that Pilate pushed him now? And don't you think that Caiaphas engineered it? And don't you think that Judas had a whole lot to do with it? Let me tell you that no man. You know, he had the perfect right to walk from Calvary's mountain back to the glory and sit down on the throne and let you go to hell. In the right. And nobody could stop him. Won't ever forget that. He wasn't obligated to you, you know. But a bit of him. Could righteously, let me put the word in, he could righteously let you go to hell. He says, no man taketh it from me. He says, but I lay it down of myself. Oh, what a Savior. Can't you see the nobility of the Savior?
My, this was noble, you know.
For a fellow to step out and save you from death, it would be a noble deed. But for my Savior to leave heaven's glory and the worship of angels, to stand on this old sinful planet and to lay down his life for me. My God, shouldn't we all love him and worship him with every fibre of our being? You can see the nobility. I'm painting the picture of the shepherd. You can see his identity. I am the good shepherd. You can see his sufficiency. He can bring you out. He can not only lift you and liberate you, he can give you life. You can see his sincerity. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You can see his ability not only to bring you out, but to lead you on. You can see his nobility to lay down his life. Now I want you to get this bit, 16, verse 16. And other sheep I have. Oh, he's wanting to talk to these old Pharisees. He says, you boys think you're the whole cheese. He says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. They didn't belong to the Jews at all. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. One shepherd. I was never in a Pharisaical fold. I was never in a Jewish fold. I was in a different fold. But the Savior that brought some of the Pharisees out came to where I lay in want and shame and brought me out and you out and you out. Ah, and he's made us one fold now. Jew and Gentile in one body, and there's one shepherd, just one. Oh, it's something that I've loved all my life. I've only one Lord, just one. I came to this place first, they had a text up here. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I said to Mr. McGill, I said, you see the first bit of it, one Lord, that suits me. Because I've just one Lord. None of the Baptists, neither north or south or east or west or far or near, are my Lord. You are not my Lord. I've just got one Lord. And I don't need to please you, you know. I need to please him. Oh, I know I say things you get off. Sometimes I wear things you get up. Some of you don't like the bow tie. I'll blow you, I don't care. Friend, the Lord doesn't look on the outward appearance. If my heart can please him this evening, I've just got one Lord. You know that John McNeil, the great Presbyterian preacher, and he was a great preacher. Old McNeil, you know, was a mighty man. He preached, you know, before the Parliament. And the King was there, and the Queen was there. And all the lords, and dukes, and ladies of the land were there. And he used to have an old fellow in the congregation who was like our good brother here. And I love our brother, he knows that. And every now and again the old fellow would say, Hallelujah. And old McNeil thought, well no, this wouldn't be nice if the Keen was in, you know. Maybe this boy sitting behind the Keen and every now and again saying Hallelujah. And he says, John, I'll tell you this. We're going to have a lot of nobility tomorrow. And I'll tell you what I'll do.
I'll buy you the finest pair of blankets that it's possible to find if you keep quiet during the whole meeting. And John needed the blankets. And McNeil knew he needed the blankets. And so McNeil got into the works and he preached on, ye must be born again. And looked into the king's face and said, ye must be born again, your majesty. And old John said, blankets or no blankets, hallelujah. Yes, you see, old McNeil was a great preacher. John McNeil, you know, was the man who preached to the whole country on the one shepherd. He was a ticket collector at the railway station. And you know, in those days when people had passes going to the train, why, some people didn't even bring them. Old John knew them. Morning, sir. Morning, sir. Morning, sir. Walked through. They had passes. But one morning, one of the directors came along and said, everybody's got to show their pass this morning. Then the director walked away and sat up in the box and watched out and see if McNeil would do it. Stopped all the knobs. Where's your pass? The fellow hadn't seen the pass for long. He said, I haven't got to send me other shirts. Stand to the side. He had a queue of them standing. One fellow said, you'll not be popular this morning. He says, if I'm popular with one boy up in the box, it doesn't matter about the rest of them. Friend, we've only one Lord. Let's get it. Are you serving him? Have you crowned him? Have you crowned him Lord of all? Is the Lord your shepherd? That's what we're getting at. You can see the responsibility of the shepherd here. You know, he'd got to find us and he'd got to bring us out. You see the identity and the sufficiency and the sincerity and the ability and the nobility and the responsibility. See, verse 18, have another look at it. He says, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Now that's invincibility. You know, he knew this, that he could step into death, he could dismiss his spirit, his body could become stiff, he could lie in the grave, he could be held tight by death, and when he wanted, he could rise out of it. Oh, that's invincible. What a shepherd is ours. You can see the shepherd painting the picture. Can't go over it all. The identity, the sufficiency, the sincerity, the ability, the nobility, the responsibility, the invincibility. When he comes nearly to the end of this message in verse 30, he said this. He said, I and my Father are one. That's what you call equality. Many times I've said this to you in the meeting. If you were talking about your Father and you had any manners at all, you would say, my Father and I. That's good manners. Put them first. But just to show the Jews that he was eternally co-equal, he said, I and my Father. And he had a right to do so. You know, that's that fellow's reed now, sir. Never mind. I'll have to hope for it, but I'll get it. You just sit and watch it. It's good enough. There's none of you of worse sight than I have, so you're bound to be able to do this. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ said here in verse 30, I and my Father are one. One of these Russellites said to me,
you know, this just doesn't mean equality. It doesn't mean that he was making himself equal with God. Well, I said, friend, I'll tell you what comes after that. Can you see verse 31? The moment he said, I and my Father are one, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They're going to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I'll tell you how the Jews understood it. It's a great pity that the Rousseauites, who are so many years behind the Jews, couldn't have found the same truth. Because the Jews knew that he was saying he was God. You not only get the equality, you get the deity. And if you can see your notes at all, you can see his identity and his sufficiency and his sincerity and his ability and his nobility and his responsibility and his invincibility and his equality and then his deity. He was God. Don't ever forget that the shepherd was God. Sometimes when my poor, tiny, little, miserable mind gets the hold of this, that God became the good shepherd and gave himself for me. It's nearly too big for me. That God died for me. And he did, you know. When God the mighty maker died. Oh, don't think that death means ceasing to exist. He just stepped out of the body and died for me. I need no other argument. I seek no other plea. It is enough that Jesus Christ, who was God, manifest in flesh, died for me. I don't need anything more, do I? That's enough. Enough for all eternity. Hallelujah. What a shame. Now, we've been looking at the sheepfold, and we've been looking at the shepherd, and we might as well look at the sheep. See, let's go back to verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. You know, he calls us personally. Make no mistake about it, you know, it's a personal call. You remember when he came to Samuel, Samuel was just a young boy. And remember that God saves young boys. And God came in the middle of the night and said, Samuel. And said it again, Samuel. And that's the time that Samuel got to know the Lord. He was called by name. You remember when Saul of Tarsus was going down the Damascus road? There was a voice from heaven said, Saul! Saul! Calls you the name. There was a fellow standing freezing one day with his toes through his shoes when God said, Willie, I need you. Calls you by name, you know. Great thing, you know. Calls you by name. Yes, we're called personally. And you know, he leads us out. Verse 4, we saw that. When he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. You know, the leading is official. See verse 4 at the end of it. For they know his lies. You ever sit and read this book at times? And you're just sitting by the fire and there's nobody there. And somehow, while it's a page you've read 1,000 times, somehow he speaks to you. You can hear his voice. It's not the old preacher you hear. It's not some old sermon that comes. It's just a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And you can hear his voice. You see, the calling is a personal thing, and the leading out is an official thing, and the knowing his voice, it's a devotional thing. Go away to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and get this bit, they follow me. That's vital. You follow them. One of these Thursday nights we're going to have a baptismal service. I wonder, will you be following? Wonder, have you heard his voice? Some of you stuck in old meetings where they're giving their money to the ecumenical movement, aren't you? Keeping up popery. And you've never heard the voice of the Lord yet saying, touch not the unclean thing. It's taken you a long time to hear. Wonder are you his at all? Because I can tell you one of the things that proves that you belong to him. You hear his voice and follow him. Make no mistakes about that. It's one of the things that proves you're just one of the sheep. That's a vital thing. Because if you tell me you're saved and listen to this book forever and never do anything about it, I don't think you're saved at all. You need to follow, you know. If you know the leading, the calling is personal, and their leading is official, and their knowing is devotional, and their hearing is vital, and their following is practical. I like this bit, verse 27, verse 28. I give unto them eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? You know, their life is eternal. You know, there are some folks who talk to me about being lost again. I would always want to know how you could have eternal life one day and not have it the next day. Because if you could prove to me that you had eternal life for 6 months, I would tell you that it was only 6 months' life you had. I hope you know what the word eternal means. You see, you cannot say, I have eternal life, but... Oh, that's a contradiction in terms. If I have eternal life, then I have it. If some old lady came in and gave me an eternal fortune, there's no hope of it, of course, but never mind. Friend, if she came in and gave me an eternal fortune, I couldn't go broke, could I? Eternal life's not for a day, you know. It's all eternal. Are you in the fold tonight? Do you know the shepherd tonight? Are you one of the sheep? God bless you. We'll not carry on the meeting too far. I don't know whether we'll see this hymn or not. I think we can sing 2 verses of it anyway. 5, 7, 8. There's no music, so we'll have to do our best. 578. And we'll sing the first. And we'll sing the second verse. First and second, 5, 7, 8. I would have the Savior with me. for I dare not walk alone. I would feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. While he leads me where he will, I will go without a murmur, and his footsteps fall still. First and second verses. Let's stand together.
Before Cecil prays, I suppose you heard of Mr. Willie Rainey's son, Harold, and the girl that he's going with, being held up last night by two men with guns. And they took his car from him and chased him and her up the road and drove his car onto the railway line, and the train went over it. We were saying on Sunday morning that all things work together for good to them that love God. And I was saying to the congregation that somewhere this week you'll have to prove the truth of this. And he came in to me today to say, "Mr. Mullen, that's the first thing I remembered even when I was running. All things work." And they will. The old car doesn't matter. He's all right. Now, Cecil.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence in this meeting. We thank Thee for the many wondrous truths Thou hast taught us from Thy Word. And we thank Thee for the Shepherd, who means everything to us in life, and who will, if Thou dost tarry, mean everything to us in death. And we thank Thee for this Shepherd, which shall mean all things to us throughout all eternity.
Yes.
We thank You, Lord, for the time when first we got to know Thee.
Aye.
And for all Thou hast meant to us from that day until now. Bless Thy word this evening to every heart and to every soul. And may every born-again believer remember those things He have heard. And may this message be a blessing to us all in death to come. We remember any in our gathering who still know Thee not. May they hear Thy voice at the end of this meeting saying, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved."
Hallelujah.
And grant, Lord, that someone from the heart's experience may prove the truth of this word this evening. Bless our pastor in days to come. Continue to give him strength in his body, and strengthen him for thy service in death to come. And bless our young brother we have heard about just now.
Yes.
And grant him thy comfort, thy grace, and thy consolation. And take us all now to our homes in safety. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.